Are you guys ready for the Word of God? Today is part 5 in our series, Samson and Delilah. Today, as I was studying the text, I discovered there's a message that God doesn't want me to skip from the life of Samson. And so I call this message, Samson and Burnout. Samson and Burnout. Let's open our Bibles to Judges chapter 15, verses 20, and then 16, 1 through 3. It says this. Now, let me give you a context. Samson is about 20 years old. He gets attacked by probably 5,000 to 10,000 of Philistines. He doesn't have a sword, so he picks up a jawbone of a donkey. He picks up a bone, and he slays 1,000 Philistines with it, okay? From there, Israel realizes, where can we find a stronger guy than this? So they make him a judge over Israel, and this is where we pick up. Samson judged Israel for 20 years during the period when Philistines dominated the land. So at about 20 to 21, Samson became a judge of Israel. And he judged Israel for 20 years. So by this time, he's about 41 years old, 40 to 41 years old. And then something happens to Samson, and this happens to people once in a while. Verse 1 says, after judging Israel for 20 years, look what he does. One day, Samson went to the Philistine town of Gaza, the center of his enemies. Don't go into the center of your enemy territory, but he does. And spends the night with a prostitute. This guy is so unpredictable, isn't he? So for 20 years, guys, he serves God. For 20 years, he judges Israel. For 20 years, he commits his life to God. You couldn't be a judge in Israel unless you knew the law of God, the Pentateuch, the five first book of the Bible, by memory. Because Samson judged Israel based on the Bible. He was walking with God for 20 years, and then something happened. Samson snaps. I see this all the time. I see people commit their life to Christ. They walk for a year, and then something snaps. And they're like, what are you doing? You're selling drugs now? You're doing crack? What are you doing now? It's like, how do you go from judging Israel for 20 years to sleeping with a prostitute, a cheap thrill? This happens a lot. You see this in marriage. Everything is going good. And then one day, a wife comes and says, I'm done with him. It's over. And it's like, but you guys look so good together. And I used to counsel a lot of people. And I'll try my hardest to put these marriages together. But sometimes when people make up their mind, when they snap, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing God can do when you made up your mind. And so something happens to Samson. He committed his life for 20 years to God, and then he snaps. I want to tell you that people snap in two different ways. Some people snap outwardly, and some people snap inwardly. And then can I present to you that Samson snapped inwardly. Now, what does it mean to snap outwardly? Some people snap and then they kill a whole bunch of people at work. Some people snap and then they just begin to punch everybody. And from being the nicest person, they become this cussing machine. Have you ever seen somebody snap? I knew a girl, she was the nicest girl, and then she snapped. And it's like, what happened? How can you go from this image to this image? That's what happened to Samson. Some people snap outwardly where they begin to punish other people. This happens in marriage. Sometimes a husband snaps outwardly. Sometimes a wife snaps outwardly. You know what I'm talking about? You probably know somebody. I know it's not you. I'm not preaching to you. I might be preaching to your neighbor today. But something happened. Now, Samson snapped inwardly. What does it mean to snap inwardly? It's when you snap and try to hurt yourself. Young people, you know this. You probably know somebody in school who snapped inwardly and they begin to cut themselves. They begin to hurt themselves. Young people, right? Somebody snaps inwardly and they begin to just drink their sorrows away. And it's not just like one drink or two. It's like nonstop. And you see a person month later and they're like, you don't recognize them. They look gray. They look like they've never slept for a long time. Some people snap and they get into work and begin to work till they can't work anymore. Some people snap and then they start using drugs and destroying themselves. Some people snap, and I've heard people go into pornography binges for like 13 to 16 hours, where they're like, I can't take any more information, but I can't stop. Snap. You probably know somebody like that. What happens when a person snaps? Two ways. They snap outwardly, but most of us snap inwardly. And I would like to present to you, ladies and gentlemen, that Samson snapped inwardly. Inwardly. Why do people snap? Why do people burn out? Well, why do people snap? Because snap comes, the reason people like reach their breaking point is because they get burned out. Sometimes life gets so hard. Sometimes stress gets so big that you can't handle it anymore, and the rubber band snaps. See, rubber band is meant to stretch a little bit. You are meant to take some stress. But we live in a culture that we are so overburdened, we're so overwhelmed, that we're stretched to the limits. And what happens is eventually we snap. Now this thing won't snap, but you get the point. And when we snap, you know what we do? We put a knot like this. Ever done that? You fix it, and then you're like, oh, I'm good now. But look at this, this rubber band became shorter, and then it snaps again. And so what you do is another knot. Okay, so watch what happens to this rubber band. Oops, now it snaps on me. So it becomes smaller. So what I do is I patch it up. Let me do this. You patch it up. But notice, as I patch it up, what happens to the rubber band? It becomes smaller. So now what you used to not even bother you, was something that didn't even bother you about your spouse, something that didn't bother you about coworker, now it's like, right? And so your stress level span is short. Everything. And this happens in marriages if we don't deal with this issue. It happens in marriages. And what happens is people just always snap at each other. Always breaking point. Always, you know what I'm talking about. If it's not you, it's your neighbor that needs to hear this. Amen? And so we snap. And so I like to present to you that Samson snapped. He was so overburdened with judging Israel for 20 years that he couldn't handle it anymore. What causes a man to abandon 20 years of wealth building, 20 years of reputation building, 20 years of doing good for people, and then in one day give it all away for a cheap thrill? Stress, and no way to deal with that stress. Anxiety, and no way to deal with that anxiety. Why would people who have to lose so much, who have so much to lose, I'm sorry, give it up for something so simple and something that doesn't mean anything? You probably heard this story from the news. Captain Lisa Novak, she is the Air Force pilot and also an astronaut. In 2006, she was on the board of a space station. She was in charge of robotics, and she went to space. I mean, this is a highly intelligent, self-disciplined, strong woman. One day, she was arrested in Orlando for attempted murder. Why? She was in love with this guy, and she found out that another captain or another person from NASA was also in love with this guy. So she snapped and drove from Houston, Texas to Orlando, Florida, nonstop. She put a diaper on. You've heard this story. Crazy. What makes a woman like that? This is not a fluke. This is somebody self-disciplined. What makes her snap? They found garbage bags, duct tape, hacking saws to chop up the person. They found a BB gun. I mean, putting a diaper on. I mean, snapped. About 7-8 years ago, we went to visit a church in Colorado Springs, a beautiful church, beautiful area. All I have is good memories from that church. And the pastor was famous because the church was like 20,000 people or something. He was a famous author, speaker. I mean, he was well known. You know who I'm talking about. One day he snaps and goes and sleeps with male prostitutes and uses cocaine. What makes people snap? Now, it doesn't just happen to successful people. It happens to anybody. People sometimes snap. So what happened to Moses? I like to present to you an idea that Moses burned out. I'm sorry, Samson burned out. Notice he didn't marry for 20 years. Notice it doesn't say that he had friends over those 20 years. He just burned out. There was another judge in Israel a little earlier in history. His name was Moses. Let's put Exodus, I believe, chapter 18, 13. He was also a judge. Let me show you something. Moses leads Israel, about 1.5 million Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. Okay? They go into the desert and Moses starts judging people just like Samson. And look what he does. The common mistake successful people make. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. Next, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" The next verse, "This is not good," Moses' father explained. "You are going to burn yourself out." That's the word for it, wear yourself out. "You're going to burn yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself." Can I present to you the idea? And I believe I have Holy Spirit, so He reveals to us deep things of God. Can I present to you the idea that Moses learned a lesson and he actually hired lots of judges to judge Israel? Moses wasn't called to be the judge of Israel. He was called to be the prophet, the visionary, the deliverer, not a judge. Listen, the worst thing you can do is to do a job that you're not called to do. I know I'm not called to counsel people. That's just not my thing, not my strength. But I used to counsel people in the beginning of our church because we just didn't know any better. You know, and I would get so exhausted because in the beginning it was kind of interesting, you know, hearing people's problems. But eventually you hear so many people's problems, and if you're not called to do that job, you just want to explode. You just want to go get drunk because you're like, "I can't handle this." Some of you are like, "Pastor, you?" Yeah, me. I didn't do it, but I thought about it. The worst thing you can do is do a job that you were not meant to do or called to do. And I believe Samson was not an office type of a guy. It's not a courthouse type of a guy where everybody's whining and for 20 years, you know how it is. Judging Israel is not easy. They're whiners. Not us, but them. Not us, but them. And so Samson was doing a job he didn't love. Instead of gathering an army and being a great general and deliver people from Philistines, guess what he does? He sits in an office building for 20 years. And eventually, Judges 16:1, it says he snapped. And he went and hired a prostitute for a night. He snapped. One day, Samson went to Philistine town of Gaza and spent the night with. What would make him do that? Next verse. Word soon spread that Samson was there. So the men of Gaza gathered together and waited all night at the town gate. They kept quiet during the night, saying to themselves, "When the light of the morning comes, we will kill him." But Samson stayed in bed only till midnight. Told you he was in love. It was just a one-night stand. Till midnight. Till midnight night do us part. Stay in bed till midnight. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the gate, including the two posts, and lifted them up, bar and all. He put them on his shoulders and carried them all the way to the top of the hill across from Hebron. So what happened is he takes the gate, rips them out of the walls. These are 750 pounds to 2,000 pound gate. And he carries them for 20 miles, guys. 20 miles. The strongest guy in the Bible is Samson. I mean, nobody's doubting this. It's not David, it's not Goliath, it's Samson. And so he does something miraculously. And so here we see that physically, he has no problems. But mentally, he can't handle it. Stressed out, thank you. The band is just stressed. The balloon, you can only pump this baby up for so long. Unless you find a relief valve, it's gonna blow. It's gonna snap. And I believe God is trying to teach us some lessons of wisdom today so we know how to deal with life. Because life will bring to you more than you can handle. Life will bring you and throw at you everything and a kitchen sink. I believe Samson thought to himself, like many of us do, physically I'm not tired. That means I'm okay. Physically I'm good. But you know what? One mistake Samson made, I believe, and this mistake we make all the time, is thinking just because physically I'm not tired, that my mind doesn't need resting. See, some of you think that people who work with their mind are lazy, and it's you who work with your hands that are, you know, tired. No, it works both ways. People who work with their mind, they need to find a way to release the valve. Otherwise, it goes, poof. Amen? Amen. And so Samson thought he was above the principles of the universe. Even Jesus himself didn't think he was above principles of the universe. Did you know that? Oh, I'm preaching to somebody, especially you business people. Hallelujah. Because some of you are like, I don't have a problem. Some of you take your job home with you. Others are like, I don't even think about my job at work. You know, so I'm not really kind of speaking to you so much, but you can learn from, because you have other areas that you need this in. But Jesus himself realized that he, although he is the Son of God, needed a way to relieve his stress. Did Jesus get stress? Yes. Mark, let's put the Mark scripture on. Thanks, Doug. Then Jesus said, this is the top of Jesus' ministry. Can I come down here? Thousands of people are demanding his attention. Jesus, please help. Jesus, can I talk to you? Can I confess my sins to you? Can I tell you what I've done? I already know what you've done. And so Jesus, at the top of his ministry, and look what he does. How many of you business people would do this? In the middle of your busiest season, ice storm, Lavar, you decide to take a break while you're getting 100 calls a day. Look what Jesus does. Many of us wouldn't do that. We would go for months till we lose our family or something, till we lose our mind, and then we're in mental hospital for a week or two. Happens to everybody. Happened to Samson, guys. So don't think you're above the principles of the universe, the laws of the universe that God has established. Look what Jesus does. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples, the apostles, didn't even have time to eat. So at the busiest time, he says, break time. They're like, Jesus, no, look, the people might leave. Let him leave, he says. We're going to take a break. And notice what Jesus does. He usually takes him to the Sea of Galilee or to the mountains by Sea of Galilee. Nature. Did you know that nature has a way to help you rejuvenate yourself? I know for me, nature and music is what helps me recover after preaching to you for 2 hours and a half and spitting and yelling. It helps me recover. I need nature. I need. I have a friend, a pastor that I talked to twice probably a month. And last week I told him, I said, Pastor Tom, I said, you know, he's like, how you doing? Tell me what God is doing. And I'm like, yeah, last week we had 300 people show up to our services. And he's like, wow, that is awesome. I love hearing those stories, because he prophesied those things like 15 years ago into my life. And he's excited. And then you know what he says to me all the time? He says, do you take enough vacations? Do you take enough vacation? That's what he tells me. Do you take enough time off? Because he understands something. Amen. Then I have another friend, John, and he's the same way. Do you take time off? Do you rest? You know, we keep each other accountable, because one of the things that we preachers, can I just be honest a little bit? If you work in a construction business, you kind of have a little more valves to blow. I worked in construction for a while, and I realized that guys don't have a problem blowing a valve in a construction, right? If anything bothers them, come on, Yuri. They're just like blankety blank, blankety blank, 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 blank. Now, it doesn't make it right. I'm not condoning cursing or cussing. It just happens. But sometimes in the positions, like a judge, you hear everybody's problems, but judge cannot go blankety blankety blank. Or a police officer, or a pastor, or a teacher. Sometimes we have to hold everything in. And that's not good for you to hold everything in. It's not good for us to hold it in. I remember in our first 5 years of marriage, we were going through a horrible time. Listen, if you're just married recently and you think it should be all peachy, it's not. Usually it's hard. And for us, we were just two different people. I was, high energy, and my wife was, I call her a turtle. And I'm a bunny, you know, I'm fast. And she's, we have a joke, what happens if you poke a turtle with a stick? Nothing. Nothing. And usually God makes a high-energy person marries a low-energy person, and it's like, have fun, guys. And I remember first 5 years of marriage, we were just struggling so bad. We didn't say a word divorce, because before we got married, we say we'd never use the word divorce, but we were thinking about it. We were thinking about it, and one day we finally visited a counselor. His name was Greg or Craig, something like that. And we visited, and they're like, tell us about your marriage. And Tanya is like, Alex, it's all his fault. He yells, and I'm a communicator, so I talk everything, you know. And you're probably married. Usually a person who loves to talk a lot marries a person who kind of keeps it all to themselves. And then one is yelling, 1,000 words per minute, and another one's like, or if they're ostrich type, they go in the sand. And so he's like, is that true? I'm like, yeah, I yell, I talk. And what do? She's like, well, I'm a Christian woman, so I don't yell. I'm smart. I'm a wise woman, so I keep it to myself. And he said something interesting. He says, you are to Tanya, he said, that's not right what you're doing. You need to stand up for yourself, and you need to tell him how you feel. Otherwise, you're going to be like a ticking bomb, ready to blow, snapping turtles. You're going to snap. You're going to snap. And so he told me this. I remember that, still in his office. You need to stop being so bold. Bring it down. I'm like, okay. To her, you got to stop hiding in the sand. You got to stop hiding in your shell. Bring it up. You got to stand up for yourself. Save their marriage, guys. Save their marriage. Samson, I assume, I speculate, didn't have anybody to talk to. He's the strongest man. He's a judge. Usually people in high positions don't have that many friends. Listen. Samson probably had many fans, but not many friends. So important to have friends you can talk to. Godly friends who will not, you know, throw bombs in your problems, but they'll help you, you know, lift you, not bombs, you know. There's some friends who are destroyers. They're just like, oh yeah, you're having problems, let me throw a bomb in there. I can do that all by myself. No, thank you. Okay, I can destroy my life all by myself. So, Samson snaps. I told you about inwardly and outwardly, right? Snaps inwardly and destroying himself. Now, why do people snap? I read a book by Flo Conway and Jim Siegelman. They wrote a book called Snapping, America Epidemic of Sudden Personality Change. And this is what they say about people who snap. They said smart people snap because they are expected to achieve high level of success in both their work and their personal life. Professional people snap because they have so much demand on them, but nobody to vent to. People with jobs that require them to hide emotional stress, like policemen, firemen, military, astronauts, and I added this, pastors, snap because nobody to tell. Sometimes people tell you something and you just cannot, because you're obligated by the law. You cannot tell other people. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that? Pastors need psychologists. Let me just tell you that. Yes, I'm not going to go to you and tell you the problem, because you might know somebody who I'm talking about. Amen. And that's going to hurt more people. So I have to find a way. But I have to find a way to release the stress, to avoid the breaking point, the snapping point. It doesn't just happen in people who are successful. It happens to people who are isolated. Listen to me. A lot of people who are isolated live to themselves, and then they end up shooting a whole bunch of people. And people are like, he was the nicest guy. I can't believe he would do that. Isolation is another cause of people to snap. And although Samson had many fans. He didn't have any close friends, and so he had nobody to bounce off his idea. Listen, the reason you need a church, the reason you can't just go to the nature and get everything you need, is because you need people in a small group where you can relieve some stress during the week. You can let go of some stress and tell people your problems sometimes. Not all of them, but some of them, so they can help you. Amen. You know that atheists are opening churches. Did you know that atheists are opening churches? They sing songs. They have meditation. I don't know, maybe they do yoga. You know why? They need community. They realize that church has something powerful that they don't have. They're all these individual islands. They need community. They need other. We were created to live in communities. That's where the stress can be relieved. And Bible says, carry each other's burden, and this way fulfill the law of Christ. People are isolated. I heard of people. One of the brothers told me a story. He said he had a friend, and he was a loner. And one day he got a call for a funeral. This man took his life because he was alone. Bible, God said it's not good for a man to be alone. You got to find some friends. You got to find some godly friends. You got to be in a community of people. But Pastor, I got so much work to do. So did Jesus. More important than your work. But he took time to rest with his disciples. Did you know that God himself, after creating the world in 6 days, on the seventh day he rested. Open Genesis 2, 2 and 3. Let's put that up. Genesis 2, 2 and 3. And on, wow, dog, you're so fast, man. Man, one of our best guys up there. On the seventh day, God has finished his work of creation, so he rested from all of his work. And listen to what he did. And God blessed the day of rest. Don't say seventh day. The day of rest. And declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all of his works of creation. Even God himself, after working 6 days, said, I need rest. If God, creator of the universe, life, Zoe life, who breathed everything into existence. If you are like into Big Bang, the God who created Big Bang, if you're into it. I am not into that. I believe he created it in 6 days. But he's the God who created the stars, the universes, the galaxies. Imagine the power. Took one day to rest. And now he's back to work. Jesus said this. He said, my Father and I, we work. No, he says, my Father works till now, so do I. So God still works, but he has rest. And if God needs rest, God is speaking to somebody. I believe today, this morning, God is shining a bright light into the dark areas of your being, of your soul. And because Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. He's looking for those who are tired and weak. And God says, he gives strength to the weary. For those who cannot have any strength, he gives might. So, I feel the Holy Spirit shining in the areas of our life where we need it. God is about to do something from this message in your life. You will never be the same. Somebody clap your hands and bless God. Talked to a lady after the first service. She's like, my boyfriend snapped and then just started doing all kinds of crazy things. I said, does he have big stress in his life? No, she says. Doesn't even work. So it's not only for those who are workaholics like me, some of you. It's also for those who are not working really hard. You got to find a way to deal with all that negative energy in you. Guys, this is big. Okay. Jesus, the Son of God, right, did not need to pray to his Father. He was God. Let me present to you an idea why he did pray, spend nights in prayer, hours in prayer. Because although he had a spirit of, he was Son of God, he was living in a natural body. And here's a key to relieving your valve, relieving the stress out of your life. Stress is a word that they use on beams, like when they build a building and they're wondering, stress level is, right, Van? Is how much pressure you can put before it breaks. Stress level. Okay, stress. Now we use it for ourselves, but it started being used as a beams and things like that for construction and bridges and things like that. And God, Jesus, who's God, could have rested and slept, but he realized that sleeping is not going to relieve the stress. Sometimes sleeping will do the trick. Sometimes it won't. Sometimes nature will do the trick, but sometimes it won't. Sometimes the only way to relieve stress, ready for this? This is the golden key of today, is to spend time in your closet and pray. Is to pray, and in prayer we can release. David realized the key to relieving stress. Who do kings go to tell their problems to? Queens. Not unless you have 10 queens and they're all fighting for attention. Then you can't even go to queens. And sometimes you don't, guys or ladies, you don't want to bring all your emotions upon your spouse. You know what I mean? Sometimes you as a man got to deal with your own emotions and you got to find somebody else to, you know, otherwise it hurts. I've seen where I told my wife some things and she just has a hard time handling it. And sometimes she tells me stuff and I just like, honey, I don't even want to know that. Find a girlfriend and tell her that or find somebody else. I just can't handle that. How are we doing? Good? Listen to what Dr. Siegelman and Conway say in their book. Snapping is not a psychiatric disorder. Get ready for this. Snapping is not a psychiatric disorder. It's a communication problem. Snapping is not a psychiatric disorder. It's a communication problem. It's when you are isolated. It's where you're intimidated. It's where you can't talk to anybody about your problems. It's in the marriage when one spouse goes and you hide in a shell. Eventually, this balloon will be filled with so much stress where it pops. And that's what I believe happened to Samson, because no rational, God-fearing man or a woman will give up 20 years of success and building a reputation and go and waste it in one night on a cheap thrill with a prostitute. It's just crazy. Why do people do it? They don't find a valve to get it out. I'm glad I wasn't talking about that other stuff today. I'm glad God put me today to expose dark areas in your life. And you know, Bible says, expose the works of darkness in your life. And once they are exposed, once you know the truth, Satan lost power in that area. Satan only has power in your life when you don't know what's going on. Once you discover the truth, that's half of the battle already, right there. Now you have to walk the truth, of course, but that's half of the battle. I'm preaching, thank you. Hallelujah. Snapping is not a psychiatric disorder. It's a communication problem. Are you locked in? Are you can't even talk? Are you intimidated somehow? That's not God. That's Satan. What he does, he isolates. Satan is like a lion or like any wild beast. You know how wild beasts do it or wolves do it? They isolate a herding animal from the herd. And once they isolate it from the herd, they attack him. You know why church is powerful? Because we are a herd, a sheep herd, right, of Christ. And as when we stay together, we're strong. When notice, let's put verse 2, Judges 16:2. Notice this. When Samson stayed in Israel among his people, among God's people, notice Philistine didn't attack him even once in 20 years. They stood away. They waited till he got weak, till he came to them. He goes to them and watch. He sleeps and then they find out he's there. Your enemy will never leave you alone. Your enemy is just looking for an opportunity to attack you. Bible says the enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he can devour. A thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's just looking. This roaring lion, it's a symbol, a picture of looking for who he can devour. And he's looking for the weak and the strongest man in the world, because he didn't balance his life. Because he worked too much, never spent time marrying a woman, right? Why not? Why not marry a woman? We know he had intimacy needs. Why not? Well, I think it's another message, but I think Samson was punishing himself for what he's done the first time. So he's like, that's it. I'm going to be this religious man. I'm not going to allow myself to have any fun. I'll just do God's work, God's work. And whenever people say that to me, I'm like, you're just about to blow. You're just about to snap. Because God didn't ask you just to do his work. He asked you to love somebody. He gave you some needs, intimacy needs. And Paul says, if you are burning, if you have intimacy needs, what does Paul say? Get married. Get married. Don't go like Samson. No, I'm not going to marry. I'm too strong. I'm just going to suffer for Jesus. Stupid. Sometimes we put on ourselves chains that God never puts on us. Sometimes we don't allow ourselves as Christians, especially old school Christians, we've never allowed ourselves to have any fun. Well, it's not from God. It's not from God. We're just called to pray and go to church. Brother Alex, no, you're called to also have fun, and you're called to take a vacation and rest. Jesus had fun. That's why, let me tell you why Jesus hung out with sinners and prostitutes. Because religious people were so boring. He's like, I cannot stand these guys. Anytime he got together with Pharisees, there was a big... Jesus like, I don't want to be around you. You're vipers. You're a snake, nest of snakes. Yeah, you're tombs filled, looking good on the outside, filled with bones. I want nothing to do with you. Sometimes we make a mistake and we don't receive forgiveness of Christ in our life. So we start paying ourselves. And this is another lesson. That's what I think Samson does. For 20 years, he has needs, but he doesn't get married. He doesn't allow himself to have fun. He doesn't allow himself to, you know, release the stress. I think Samson stops communicating with God. He stops his prayer life. Because, see, a path to Gaza is about 20 miles. A path to Gaza, from where Samson lived to Gaza, was about 20, 25 miles. Samson didn't get to Gaza in one leap. It took one step at a time. He made it to Gaza one step. And so we make these small steps. And eventually, he ended up with a prostitute. Maybe he went just to get away from Israelites. He's like, I'm just so tired of you and your religion. You know how religious Israelites were, still are a little bit today. He's like, I just want to get away. I just want to get away from religious people. All I'm going to do is have a drink. So I'm going to disguise myself, put a wig like that Lisa, Captain Lisa, she put a wig. Yeah, and a trench coat and everything. I mean, and diaper underneath and everything. And he's like, maybe I'll just go to the bar and just get a drink. But he was already burned out. And it was too late already to go. And especially, why don't you go to a bar in your town? I'm sure there was bars in that town, you know? No, he goes to the bar in Gaza, meets this prostitute. And here, everything starts going wrong in his life again. And pretty soon, we're going to get to Delilah because soon he meets Delilah. And that's going to be fun because we named this series Samson and Delilah. We haven't even talked about Delilah yet. And this is part 5. Hallelujah. How do you know you are close to a breaking point? Number 1, you isolate yourself. No friends or counselors to confide in. You only focus on your job, or you only focus on one area of your life and abandon everything else. You don't honor the Sabbath, mentally or physically. Not taking enough time off. You stop having fun. Some will make an objection. My work is fun. That's what I used to do. Did you know that? Stupid, stupid, stupid. I used to say, my job is so much fun. I love doing what I do. That I would bring it home. And I wouldn't even shut off at home. And so day and night, till you burn out, guys. And I know this. I'm not speaking from like reading something. I'm talking from experience. I've been there. And then you just don't want to do anything. You're just like, please don't touch me. Please, nobody touch me. Please don't call me. You get another phone call. You can't even handle a phone call. You know, people who are mentally burned out, they can't even handle a phone call because they think something bad is going to happen. And they just can't handle another bad thing. They're going to blow. Real stuff today, hey? Not a whooping message, but it's something you're going to remember. Amen. Person who is about to be burned out or snap is dreaming of escaping or retirement. There was a season about 4 or 5 years in my life. I wanted to load everything in my pickup truck and move to somewhere on a beach in Florida. Leave my family, my beautiful wife, Right now, I'm thinking, that's so stupid. Right now, selfish, yeah, that's dumb. I can't survive a day without this woman. I can't. But in a time when you're so burned out, you know, you can't think. You are in some kind of comatosis or whatever. Is that the right word? Okay, thank you. You just don't think. You're just like, I want to load a fishing pole and maybe buy a surfboard and just go on a beach and live like the bums. If you're a bum, I love you. You're welcome here anytime. Amen. And now I'm thinking back. I'm like, what was I thinking? You don't. You're so hurting, so inside. You can't feel anymore, so inside that you're just like, and that's what I think happened to Samson. And a lot of you are going through something like that to some degree. Maybe in your marriage, maybe at your work, maybe you're just ready to just blow up at somebody. How do you, so the question is, how do I deal with burnout? Number one, what did Jesus do? You got to do what he did. What did God do? Rest. Not just physically, but mentally. Sometimes I would rest like this. I would take a day off, and then I would do taxes on the computer. Yeah, on my day off. And I would be so stressed out by the end of the night. And once I do taxes, I binge do taxes. I'm a binge tax doer. I just like from 8 in the morning to like 11 p.m. at night. And then I can't sleep the whole night. And I'm more stressed. So I won't do anything on the day off. Anything. Just your mind has to rest. But I love my job. Your mind has to rest. God loves his job more than you love your job. And he still takes a day off from his job. Your job don't love you guys. I realize that. Hurt yourself, make a bad decision, and your job will abandon you so fast. And you giving all your life to your job. Your job don't love you. So treat it just as a job. Don't give it your all. Don't worship your job with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't worship it. That kind of worship only belongs to God. So how do I deal with stress in my life? Number one, you gotta take time to rest. Number two, the greatest way to relieve. Let me do this quick. Okay. The greatest way to relieve this is prayer. I gotta make it fun a little bit, right? I'm talking about serious stuff, so I have to make it fun. But you gotta leave this, because if you don't, it's just gonna get bigger. And Jesus, the creator of the universe, would spend nights in prayer. Why? Did he really need to talk to his father? Couldn't he just communicate through? He had stress from all the people. One day he got so stressed out, the people said he came out of himself. He acted crazy. They went and got his mom and dad. Oh, sorry, his mom and his brothers, not his dad. His mom and his brothers, and they came to get him, and he's like, hey. And so Jesus would spend nights in prayer. The greatest way. Sometimes nature will not do it. Sometimes talking to a counselor will not do it. Sometimes you need to, no, not sometimes, daily. You need to work out a discipline where you, God, you know what Book of Psalms is? Book of Psalms is David relieving his stress. One day he's, God, you're awesome. From morning I will worship you. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Everything is good. The next day he's, oh, why are you down, oh my soul, why are you so down? My enemies are coming against me. They're about to overtake me. If I had wings of an eagle, I would fly away, right? You thought, what is Psalms? You know what David does? He takes his emotions, his stress as a king, and he journals it. How did we get Book of Psalm? David journaled his stress. He put it on paper. And that's the only way he could be sane. So maybe you don't have somebody to talk to. Get a journal and talk to that. Yeah. That's what David did. That's how we have his Psalms. I think Rick Warren says Psalms has every known emotion to a human being in it. So if you're struggling with an emotion, you don't know what it is, go read Psalms. Book of Psalms. I gotta quit. I'm having too much fun. So you pray. And three, you find somebody to talk to. Have a friend. Make a friend. Join a life group. Make 10 friends. Don't be a loner. Don't be a loner, because I'm gonna read this again. from these doctors. They said this: snapping is not a psychiatric disorder, it's a communication problem or failure. Some of you lucked in. Some of you just, you got so much stuff. And don't just go to anybody. Be wise about it. Find somebody, though, who you can talk to. If you can't find somebody, hire a counselor. We can actually, at church, give you a number to doctor of psychology and psychiatry. He can help you. He can talk with you. Don't carry it all in. Let it out. Because look what happened to Samson. The strongest man in the universe messed it all up because he couldn't find a valve for his stress. Were you blessed today by this message? Do you see how God loves us? Do you see how much he cares for our well-being? He doesn't just care about you worshiping him. There's a reason why he asked you to worship him. Because in worship you release stress too. This morning I came to church and I was like, something's not right. And so I started worshiping. Sometimes you'll see me go like this. I'm just releasing all that, you know, because that stress makes you tense. And you just gotta release it. Satan, you're not gonna bind me. By second service, oh my goodness, I was jumping over there. And some of you are like, why are you jumping? Because I need it. I need it. It's not so much for God, although I am trying to worship him, but I need. Why do I pray? Because I need it. Why do you meditate? Because you need it. You need God. And so when he tells you all these things, it's not to make you religious. It's to make you healthy and whole and holy. Healthy, whole, and holy. Whew, that's good. Amen, amen. God loves us. Wow, how he loves us. This word is for you. Jesus said, I have come to give you life to the fullest. How? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.